steps to the mic with a boom, ping, ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, oh, the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday, August 6th, 2026. I'm worried, ladies and gentlemen. No, screw that. I'm scared. I'm petrified even. And I'm not really scared of much. But the things that are happening right now, right in front of your face, in front of my face, has me terrified for the future. Milwaukee used to be this little old sleepy blue-collar industrial town known for shows like Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley, and a very famous character played by Henry Winkler, that was the Fonzie. We even have a bronze Fonzie statue, which is cool. If you happen to go and visit the bronze Fonzie statue, which is a favorite of tourists, let me just give you a little word of advice. So with a statue, his thumbs are pointed up, okay? Don't touch his thumbs. You've been warned. We've often talked about on this program solutions to crime, and every year it seems, every summer, there's a new incarnation of what criminality looks like. You have the usual types of crimes. You've got property crimes. You've got car thefts. You have things relating to, of course, reckless driving. Like, that stuff is going to be there. But then there's always some new novelty crime that comes up every single summer. It's always something new. We saw like an example of that would be during COVID, there were an increase of car thefts, right? We didn't really account for that. But just new types of crime will pop up and they will evolve. Well, this summer, it seems, not so much the teen takeovers, because I think the definition of a teen takeover has been watered down. If you have seven black kids playing hopscotch, they would call that a teen takeover. But there also used to be a law some time ago when we were very concerned about gangs and gang activity. If there were like four black boys standing on a corner, the police could then do a stop and a frisk because, oh, that's a gang. So I think our definition of, quote, teen takeover has been watered down. Now, there have been a couple of them now. There's been a couple few. But what we have seen most frequently, and there was some evidence of this in previous summers, but it seemed like this summer it reached a fever pitch. The gatherings, the congregations that oftentimes turn brutal with fights or even with shootings on Water Street and Brady Street, and elected officials have been desperately searching for solutions. And I think that we have participated in offering our suggestions for solutions to what is going on the Brady Street and the Water Street, because those areas need to be protected and free from criminal activity because they generate revenue. The one good thing about a city is you have a collection of different businesses and different types of attractions. We're lucky that we have the lakefront because that brings a lot of people, tourism. We have our festivals, et cetera. And you got to protect those things because they bring in revenue that we need, of course, to pave the streets and plow the snow and pick up all of the garbage and all of the things. So whenever you have an uptick in crime or disorderly conduct, anything that could potentially drive spenders away, you want to mitigate that problem as quickly as possible. And also, with the amount of money that Milwaukee generates, because a lot of people live here, and when you have a lot of population, which we do, we are the largest city in the state. But if you talk to these gubernatorial candidates, you wouldn't necessarily think that. But that's something we'll talk about in a little while, because you know I got to give you my thoughts, feelings, and opinions on the state of the race for governor in Wisconsin. Damn it, I need this election to hurry up now. I'm getting sick of it. It's like I'm over here waiting on test results. You know what I'm saying? It's like, just give me the result. Oh, what the hell? So today is Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday. Hopefully today goes quick. Tomorrow goes quicker. We're going to have the weekend. The weekends always go fast. By the time we come back from this upcoming weekend, it's election time, baby. So we've been searching for solutions. Like, what do you do with the young people? Because it's not always the 21-plus-year-old crowd that is going out on Water Street and Brady Street to get drunk. It's a lot of young people that aren't quite 21 that bring their own liquor and turn those entertainment districts into street parties, which is frowned upon. And then, you know, the kids, they get all drunk. Everybody smokes weed, too. You guys notice this? And everywhere you go, everybody smokes the marijuana. Be careful and be cautious of that. I'm particularly cautious of it because, not that I partake, because this stuff that got out here now will kill you. It's so much THC in it that if you walk past somebody smoking this stuff, you'll go into a coma. Just walking down the street in the city of Milwaukee, literally any day of the week, any time of the day, you can be out walking your dog at 6 o'clock in the morning and somebody is smoking weed. It's the craziest thing ever. You're just walking around. I smell it in the Third Street Market Hall. This weed is everywhere and you're minding your own business. And let's say you don't partake. You don't smoke the wacky tobacco. You don't smoke the devil's lettuce. But then all of a sudden you're walking around the city of Milwaukee and then you get home 15, 20 minutes later. You're ordering Pizza Hut and eating all the Doritos because you got the munchies because you got a contact high because you were walking past somebody that was smoking weed out of a Kia. Because people that drive Kias all smoke marijuana. I don't have the science and the data on that, but trust me when I tell you. Xavier, what do you call a deer with no eyes?
No eye deer.
That's very good. You're right. That's good. You must have heard that one before.
No, I just came up with it off the top of my head.
I got a better one for you. You're not going to get this one. Don't worry. I'm going to get back to talking about how we're being invaded. I'm very scared right now. I've never been scared before. I'm very afraid. All these people are invading us. Milwaukee used to be a quiet little sleepy town that nobody even cared about. We used to make stuff and produce things. We used to make people beer, and they would get drunk all over the world. We used to be one of the top brewing cities all over the world. Milwaukee was just a beer place where people come here to get fat, beat up by the police, discriminated against, and drunk. That's all we used to be. Happier times. Black businesses were thriving. Now everybody hates them. What do you call a chicken that is staring at a head of lettuce?
A chicken staring at lettuce?
Chicken Caesar salad.
Come on! I'll give you this.
You just giving me the buzzer because you didn't get it.
Yeah, that, and it was just...
Fair enough.
Dad joke Thursday.
Those
I guess.
Aren't dad jokes. Those are Sherwin jokes.
Oh.
Actually, yeah, we can call them daddy jokes. So Sherwin is daddy. It's either daddy or you can call me Uncle Pretty Boy.
You talking to me or are you
talking to anybody who's listening?
Oh, I'll just call you Sherwin.
I'll answer to either. Earlier in the week, I talked about the cities and the states that Wisconsinites are relocating to because taxes could be driving them away. And as people are getting older and our populations are aging and more people are collecting their retirement benefits, they may want to move to a state that is more retiree-friendly, better weather, but also tax-friendly. So I listed a whole bunch of states. Florida is one. Tennessee is another. Arizona is a state that people are moving to when they leave Wisconsin. And I said that there could be more of that coming. I also am going to predict there will be another MPS referendum coming in 2028. It's going to be at least $300, if not $350 million. You heard it here first. They're going to be asking for more money, and that is going to increase your rent. It's going to increase our property taxes, et cetera, et cetera. So just brace yourself for that. So there's a whole bunch of places that people are choosing to move to when they decide that they've had enough of Wisconsin. I didn't think about who was moving here. This is a part of the invasion. I didn't even consider, because I'm over here thinking maybe because we're a humble crop of folk here. We're humble and we're hardy here in the upper Midwest in Wisconsin. I don't ever think that people want to move to Wisconsin. I'm always assuming that people want to move out, and we have evidence of that because Wisconsin has lost, oh boy, at least one congressional district, maybe two in the last 20 years. And you know how many people you got to lose a whole congressional district? You got to lose at least a 500,000 people. So when I talk about demographics and populations and all these other things related to that, because that also can influence voter behavior, public sentiment, et cetera, I never consider that people are actually moving here. Now, people are leaving Wisconsin at a higher rate than these damn invaders are coming in. I just don't want new people here. I want to just deal with the Wisconsinites that we have. I don't want to deal with new people. Well, you ain't going to believe this. People from Fat Pizza Land are choosing Milwaukee as their favorite destination to move to. We don't need another invasion from Chicago, because the last time we got an invasion from Chicago in the mid-1980s and the late 1980s and the early 1990s, you know what they brought here? Drug houses. Because Wisconsin was the last state in the upper Midwest to reform our welfare system. You were still getting welfare checks in Wisconsin. We didn't reform our welfare system really until the federal government, under the guise of the Clinton administration, nationally reformed welfare and changed it into W-2. And so if you were from Wayne County or Detroit, if you were from Gary, Indiana, if you were from Chicago, Illinois, Fat Pizza Land, who wants fat pizza? Why would you even make a deep dish pizza? You know what it's like? It's like cheesecake pizza. It's thick. Only thing I want thick is oatmeal, grits, mashed potatoes, and women. Anything else, I don't want it. Preferably women. You know, women that when they walk, they bounce. Man, listen to me. I almost fell down the stairs the other day. Because when I walk up or downstairs, I need to watch my feet because I don't want to slip. Because it's very embarrassing. And I'm old, I'd probably break a hip. But it was this thingamajig coming up the stairs when I was going down. I couldn't even control myself. I was like, oh Lord, lost my balance.
Where was this at?
Here. It'd be some thick ones in here, I'm telling you right now. Anyway, don't get me off base, Xavier. I got a whole long show where I got to talk about many, many things, how we're being invaded. Chicago residents looking for a new city to call home tend to end up in Milwaukee. A new report from U-Haul says, so I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back. Are you prepared for this invasion of the fat pizza people? We need to build a wall. That's what we need to do. Not between us and Mexico. Oh, who cares about that? I don't care about that. We need to build a wall between Milwaukee and Chicago. Or at least put up a tollway. I don't like that when I need to drive through Chicago, because Chicago gets in the way of all points south and east that I may need to get to. Okay, but you going to make me pay? You mean I got to pay to use a little taste of your highway? I'm not even using your whole highway. I'm just doing a highway quickie. I'm not driving all up and down the Dan Ryan and driving all up and down your weird freeway system in Chicago. Why you got to make me pay a toll just to pass through? I don't like that. You can come to Wisconsin. You can drive all up and through us for free. We just give it away for free. We just some hoes here. We just giving away driving on our highways. You make state of Wisconsin taxpayers fund highway improvements and highway maintenance in Illinois. They charging. I don't like that. I call that highway prostitution. When I come back from my break, I'm going to give you the first act of the conversation we're going to have about this invasion that us poor, hardy Wisconsin folk, all Wisconsin folk want to do is live a decent life. All we want to do is just be happy, get a little drunk, get laid on occasion, not too much, just every so often. Just when you got to make sure your pipes are lubricated, you know what I mean? Just a little maintenance, just to get the poison out every now and again. Just want to have a good time, just want to relax a little bit. That's all we want to do. We don't need to be invaded by all of these people and these outsiders. Talk about that on the other side. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Chicago residents looking for a new city to call home tend to end up in Milwaukee, a new report from U-Haul says. U-Haul's mid-year migration trends report uses one-way rental data to determine where people are coming and going in cities across the country. So I used this same data a couple of days ago to ascertain where Wisconsinites were moving to. So when people consider leaving Wisconsin, I listed some of the states and the cities that we are more likely to go to. Washington, D.C., Atlanta, several different cities in Tennessee, with Texas, I believe, leading in the outward migration of Wisconsinites. Never thought for a second that there are people coming here, and it's the worst kind of people, because we got a history with Chicago, folks. We oftentimes attribute a real downturn in Black Milwaukee culture. It's associated with a couple of things that hit all at the same time. And now we are looking at and dealing with the aftermath of what happened about a generation ago. Everything kind of hit all at once. You had deindustrialization, where a lot of the factory employment, a lot of the assembly line employment, a lot of the brewery manufacturing all kind of left, not quite overnight, but it was a slow, consistent, gradual decline. And that was one of the many reasons why we even have the African-American population in Milwaukee that we do, because a lot of African-American folk migrated from the Jim Crow South up here for jobs and opportunities. And when those jobs and opportunities went overseas or moved to different parts of the country or downsize, it really hurt our community. I did hear a little piece of Homer Blow's program this morning, and I heard folks lamenting about Black-owned businesses. Those are always fun conversations. I love those, talking about the businesses that are owned by the Blacks and how terrible our customer service is. I think it depends on the business, depends on the people and the personality of the business owners. I know the customer service can vary widely. What I see, and I don't just want to make this about bad Black customer service, there's a certain generation of person, an age group that, because they grew up virtually, they grew up online, they grew up having friends that they've literally never met before in person. And when you have a lot of your social interactions on the internet, you're awkward in person. You got some of these young people, they don't even know how to look somebody in the eye and shake their hand. I got a few pet peeves, and as I get older, I get more of them. I got a list of them. I should publish them in a book. But when I meet a young man, young Black man, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" "Sherwin, very nice to meet you." And he can't look me in my eye, that's Strike one. Strike two is a limp-wristed handshake. What are you doing, sir? Don't shake my hand like that. And then if they got a limp wrist, I'll squeeze that hand. I'll squeeze it. I'll squeeze that hand like I'm trying to get juice out of it. You're going to shake my hand, young lady. A little, nice to meet you. What are you doing? Who's teaching you how to shake hands? Your mama? Ladies, if you're raising boys, you got to tell them. This is how you begin the relationship of respect. You look a man and, hey, nice to meet you. All right, look him in his face. Shake his hand. Grip the hand. Get a firm handshake. Some women have firm handshakes. At least I think they're women. I don't know what they are anymore, but some women. Hey, Sherwin, listen to your show all the time. Hi, I'm Brenda. Here, look, right here. Shake it. Shake my hand. And they, like in the cartoons, they shake your hand so hard your whole body moves up and down, like your feet leave the ground. Got some women that shake hands more like a man than some men do. It's terrible. So it's a generation of younger people that just their customer service skills, and I guess maybe you can teach it, but it's just about being personable and having a lot of interaction with other human beings, diverse human beings over many, many years, and you just get natural and feel comfortable around people. But if you grew up in the basement playing video games and playing virtual reality stuff and wearing the headsets and talking to your friends in Bangladesh playing the video games or whatever, seeing somebody interacting with somebody in public is a very different experience for them. And I don't want to just attribute poor customer service with black businesses to it being black people. Some black people are really rude, though. They're just, they're angry. Don't believe me? Let's play a game, shall we? Go to Popeye's Chicken. I don't care what location. Because they're only in the city. I don't think you have, well, there's one that I can think of, but it's close to the city. It's on a Mayfair Road in Burleigh. It's just barely Wauwatosa.
They're very pleasant there.
They're pleasant. Okay.
And there's no bulletproof glass or anything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can go in there. They have the chicken. You don't have to get yelled at.
So don't go to that Popeyes. Pick a different one. Pick the one on 28th and Capitol. Ho, 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 that's the doozy. Or how about the one on 76th and Capitol? Oh, some black people are just... When you go to the Popeyes on 28th and Capitol, first of all, you're going to get yelled at. Welcome to Popeyes! And then, because you got to be careful, because you don't want to make the person angry that's serving you your food, because while you're in your vehicle at the drive-through at the screen, you don't know what they're doing to your food. You have no idea. So I tend to be very pleasant. Hi, can I get a two-piece? We don't got no two-pieces. Okay. Can I get a one-piece? It's a 37-piece. That's all we have. Dark meat. Oh, okay. I'll take a 37. We ran out of boxes. All we got left is McDonald's. Could you imagine going to Popeyes and they don't have any more Popeyes and you order your food and it's Burger King? It's that bad. I don't know why they're so angry. And then when you get up to the window where you got to pay, they're flat. There's a gun. Somebody has a gun. They're pointing a gun at you. You better have exact change. And it's terrible. It's just, but some of us are rude. I don't know why it is, but we're very mean. And we're mean to each other. That's not nice. That might be the impetus of black-on-black crime. I said all that to say this. A whole bunch of things hit at the same time. So you had deindustrialization, which really gutted our community. You also had some years before that, the construction of a freeway, one that was actually built and one that was never built, where they closed and bulldozed and used eminent domain to take something like 8,000 African-American-owned homes and businesses, which gutted a real central part of our economic engine of a black community. And sometimes black people don't recover from that. So now you have a whole generation of poverty that was engineered by eminent domain. So you really have to keep that in mind as well. Property values started to sink. Home ownership rates started to decline. Property values decline. Property taxes decline. Now the schools are underfunded. It's a whole bunch of things hit at once. And then you have crack. But I don't want to overstate the impact of crack, because when we look back in history, we attribute so many of the social problems that we have right now to, oh, it was a bunch of people smoking crack. A lot of crack babies were born. Everybody wasn't smoking crack. I don't know what you guys think the 80s was, but everybody was not smoking crack. You got about the same amount of people smoking crack back then as you had smoking crack right now. You still got – somebody just posted a video yesterday of two crackheads fighting on 25th and Capitol. It's very funny because one of them was wearing underwear. It's very funny. It's not – you're not supposed to laugh at it, but come on. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning and two crackheads are fighting, just punching each other. Unlike other fights that you see, like on Water Street or Brady Street, within a couple of seconds, somebody's trying to break the fight up. When crackheads fight, people just let them go. People pull over and record it.
Were you a fan of bum fights?
I'd hate to admit something like that. So if I'm scrolling and I happen to see a fight, I'm like, oh, let me stop and check their technique. Because you can tell people that actually know how to fight versus people that just swing wildly. I've noticed with a lot of girls, their stances, girls are not taught how to fight for as much as they actually like to throw blows. But they do weird stuff. Like they do stuff like this. Like they learn how to fight in the cartoons. Like, yeah, come on, wise guy. Yeah. Step on up. It's weird how they have their guards. You got to protect your chin. Put your head down a little bit. Protect your chin. But they're doing weird stuff. They're swinging all wildly. And I'm thinking to myself, I would kick all of these girls' asses. Just me. Is that bad? Because if it's, okay, you're not supposed to hit a, you're not. But if she hits me, but here's the thing. So what if it's seven women and me? Can I hit them then?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're defending yourself.
Because I see how bad their technique is. I'm like, well, somebody's got to teach them. And there's the best way to teach somebody how to fight is to kick their ass. Because they're like, oh, I perhaps need to sharpen my guard. I need better footwork, or I need to bob and weave a bit more. You know what I mean? So
I should send you a video of a guy fighting four studs.
Oh, God, I'd love to see
that. He knocks them all out.
They want to be men so bad.
Well, yeah, after they got knocked out, then they started complaining that they were women. Before they were trying to fight them, they were all trying to jump them, and then he just knocked them all out one by one, and then when they got up, they were talking about how they're women.
If you're wearing sagging jeans, showing your boxer shorts, Timberland boots, and a white tank top, and your breasts are taped down, to me, you're a dude. You can get it, sir. No, I'm a girl. You taped your breasts, and you're wearing men's Jerbeau jeans, mister. So a whole bunch of things hit at once. We had crack. We had deindustrialization. And then you had, of course, the crime bill, which incarcerated a lot of African-American men. So a whole bunch of things hit at once. And then you still had the welfare system, which brought a lot of the undesirables from Chicago to Milwaukee. And I think that had a very profound impact on the culture. All those things hitting at once. Factory jobs closing, assembly line jobs closing, production jobs closing, which brought black people here. The construction of the freeway, which bulldozed a bunch of our homes. We still had the welfare system, which attracted undesirables from other cities because they wanted to take advantage of our welfare check system. And then you had the introduction of crack cocaine, and then you had very heavy incarceration going on at the same time. All of those factors combined really changed the culture. And there were children being born at that time, and they were born into a real destitute situation in Milwaukee. And some of the people, the children that were born during that crazy time of deindustrialization and crack and people taking advantage of welfare, those children grew up in a real poisonous environment. And our schools were underfunded, of course. And so if you grew up in that environment, you now are an adult. You're probably a younger or middle-aged millennial, and you probably have children that are also growing up in a situation that was made worse by what took place a generation or so ago. Black businesses were impacted by that, too. When you had stable black employment, when we worked in the factory jobs, when we worked for meat packing plants and Patrick Cudahy and Alice Chalmers and A.O. Smith, You could have a black business. You can have a black corner store. You can have a black dry cleaner, because the mainstay of employment for black people, those stable factory jobs, allowed for other African-Americans to purchase buildings in the community, and they could sell goods and services and groceries to other black people. But when the mainstay of black employment, those factory jobs, went away, so did our black businesses. And people are wondering, well, how come the Arabs and all these other people bought our businesses? Because we couldn't maintain them, because when entrepreneurs are making money, if you own a store and your customers are people that work at A.O. Smith, and then A.O. Smith downsizes by 90%, you can no longer stay in business. And you're going to want to sell your real estate, and you're going to sell your real estate to anybody who is willing to buy it pretty much at any price. But that was also a very likely story of what took place at that time. Now, some black folks were able to escape. They moved out to the suburbs. When the housing covenants began to lessen and federal housing policy was the rule of the day, so some black folks left. Problem is, when African-Americans migrated out of the city and into the suburbs, namely Brown Deer, we didn't take black businesses with us, either because we did not want to or we simply could not. Getting a permit for a business in a suburb, if you were black, was a whole different process than starting a business on 27th and Townsend. Still doesn't change the fact that we're being invaded by people from Chicago. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I can't stand the rain against my window, bringing back sweet memories.
J.D. the poet says, Chicago didn't bring the dope house. They was selling dope out of houses in the 70s in Milwaukee. Milwaukee hoods was and always has been open-air drug markets and now mobile cars. They did proliferate using abandoned houses. Because we didn't really have a lot of abandoned houses on the north side of the city of Milwaukee. We didn't start having abandoned houses until deindustrialization. And those abandoned houses, which they had a plethora of in Chicago, served as a way in which they could, like, mechanize drug sales. When we started having more vacant and abandoned houses in Milwaukee as a result of deindustrialization, the folks from Chicago that had been selling dope out of abandoned houses for a decade then took advantage of the abandoned houses here, and they were having, like, it was, like, orderly. You would go to the abandoned house, you'd go to the front door, you get your dope out the back door. It was a very mechanized system. Now, did it exist in Milwaukee? Sure, but not to the same scale, because when those invaders from Chicago came, they brought a decade or more's worth of knowledge and experience of using bandos, abandoned houses, as central hubs to sell dope. And crack just made everything smarter, more organized, because it was such an addictive drug and it was so cheap. But I still don't think that people were smoking crack the way that we think that we were. If you are, let's say you're born in the 90s or the early 2000s and you listen to old folks talk about the day, back in the day, you young people would think that we was just walking around smoking crack like y'all smoke weed. No, no, no. And at the same time, you had the Reagan administration promoting Just Say No, which actually worked. We hated drug addicts as little kids, and some of the older millennials, you guys had the DARE program, the Drug Awareness Resistance Education Program. You know what that was? That was a scam to do a couple of things, to give police officers more income by giving them overtime, by putting them in schools. It was also the first step in criminalizing children by having cops in schools. You didn't really have police officers in schools before that. Not stationed in schools, but here's what the DARE program really was. So it was obviously more income for police officers. It was a way to start to criminalize children. Because if you got a cop in the school, two kids fighting can be a whole different scenario, where back in the day you would just get suspended. Or, quite honestly, there would be fights at Brown Deer and teachers would be like, yeah, go back to class. Cut that out. Stop that fighting. Go to your Sherwin, where are you supposed to be? Social studies. Get to your social studies class. Okay. not that I ever sounded like that, but decent enough reenactment. But here's what the D.A.R.E. program was really about. And there's a whole, like, documentary on it. It was so that police officers could form relationships with children and earn the trust of children. So children would share with the police officers. This is back in the days of officer friendly. You know, back when cops used to give you baseball cards. Do you guys remember running up to cop cars? Like running up to them like they were the damn ice cream man and asking for baseball cards. And they would happily oblige. They don't do that anymore. In fact, now if you run up to a cop car, I don't know if I'd recommend that. No, they ain't got no baseball cards. I don't know what they got in their cars now. The police would earn the trust of these children, and the children would tell the police officers details about what was going on in their homes, and the police would use these kids' words as evidence to go and arrest the parents. That is what the D.A.R.E. program was all about. They didn't care if kids were doing drugs. In fact, schools that had the D.A.R.E. program didn't show any less drug usage than schools that didn't have it. They didn't care about that. So the Chicago people brought all the drug houses. It's nice to be able to blame somebody for our problems. For instance, people moving out of Milwaukee often ended up in southern states such as Texas, Florida. Meanwhile, many people leaving Chicago found their way north to Wisconsin, as did people on the move in some other Midwest states, the report shows. And this article is brought to you courtesy of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. U-Haul's report released yesterday examines more than 50 U.S. cities with 1 million plus people from July 2025 through June 2026. This year's report also divided the results by age group. Baby boomers born 1946 to 1964. Generation X born between 1965 and 1980. Millennials born between 1981 and 1996. And Gen Z born 1997 through 2012. Though U-Haul customers must be 18 years old to rent a truck and 16 years old to rent a trailer. Here are some of the biggest moving trends highlighted in the report involving Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Chicago residents in three different age groups. Baby boomers, Generation X, and millennials most often ended up in Wisconsin, the report says. Milwaukee was the top destination for departing Chicago residents in the Gen X and millennial age groups. I don't know how I feel about this. So Chicago people, and maybe some of you are listening to my show, maybe some of you are new arrivals to Milwaukee, and somebody turns you on to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. First and foremost, welcome. Secondly, watch yourself. Watch yourself, fat pizza people. Watch it. You got to show respect. You Chicago people are very rude. We're nice people up here. So you make us mad, then we'll cut you. Don't do it. Don't come up here thinking because you're from a bigger city. You're in our house now. Take your shoes off when you walk in the door. Chicago people, fat pizza people, tried to sell y'all Racine and Kenosha. You didn't buy, but instead you moved to Milwaukee. That's not going according to plan. Now, we have some history with you Chicago people. We remember when y'all came up here about 30-some years ago to some of your most undesirable people that came up here to take advantage of our welfare program. I don't like that now. I don't like outside people coming to Milwaukee. I'm sorry, I just don't. You know what my biggest complaint was? I have a big complaint every day. I shouldn't say my biggest complaint. There was a period of time on this frequency, 101.7, when it was owned by Good Karma Brands, that the majority of the people that were on air were not even from Milwaukee, but this is Milwaukee Black Talk. And I called it out. In fact, we were doing one of our politics roundtables, which, if you guys remember, those turn into unmitigated disasters. Well, speaking of which, I saw Tory Lowe this morning. Tory Lowe was in here with Homer. I didn't expect to see Tory. It's nice to see Tory. So the morning show was DT and Telly. Telly is from East St. Louis, Illinois. Denise is from Indiana. Then you got me. From here, born in Milwaukee, grew up in Brown Deer, bought my house in Milwaukee in the early 2000s. In fact, I've lived in Milwaukee longer than I lived in Brown Deer. And then after me, you had Benjamin had an afternoon show that he did with Melanie Ricks. You know where Benjamin is from. You know where he's from. He's from Racine. We tried to tell him to move to Milwaukee. Good thing he didn't, because he ain't got a show here no more. Sorry, Ben. Then you had Tori, of course, who is from here. But then our evening drive time show was Dr. Ken Harris, and Dr. Ken Harris is from Chicago. So that was like a pet peeve that the majority of the people. Now, it was a, I don't know, it was a brief period of time, because then Carrie got added to the afternoon show, and Carrie, of course, is from here. But I just found that troubling that we have Milwaukee Black Talk. And it also, it signals something to me that we don't have enough folks in this city that either have an interest in or even could be, because there's a skill set that you need to be able to host a communication style program. And we had to look to damn migrants. And no shade to those people. But like when I looked at it, I was like, that's a problem, because you would think the Milwaukee Black Talk would have Milwaukee hosts. Rhea was a producer. Rhea's from Racine, which you can tell. I mean, no offense to her, but you just.
How?
Nah, she just has Racine tendencies.
What are those?
Nah. Put it this way. Racine tendencies don't last very long in Milwaukee. You know, they just don't. It's just not a good fit. That's all. It's just like a dress that doesn't fit you so good. It's a little too tight around the breasts. It just doesn't fit.
I like a tight dress on a woman.
All right. But it's got to fit.
Yeah, nice and tight.
You got to dress for your
woman that's not in shape.
You have to dress for your body type. That goes for men, too. Man, you got to stop wearing stuff that don't fit you good. You know what I mean? Got to wear clothes that fit your body type. Then we had Andrew. Does Andrew still work here? I haven't seen Andrew in a month.
I think he does. You know, he lives downtown, and I actually saw him jogging on my way to work.
Jogging?
Or not today, last week.
So yeah. But you didn't see him here, though.
Oh, no, he works here. He'd be outside in the little thing, you know.
Okay, yeah, I ain't seen him in a while. I'm going to take a break, come back. Apparently somebody is calling. We're talking about these invaders. We're being invaded. Oh, by the way, I got to give you a description and my rationale behind the YouTube poll question of the day. Mostly because we have inquisitive temperaments, we will ask a poll question via the YouTube. If you go to YouTube.com or open up your YouTube app from your smartphone or other mobile device, search 1017 The Truth. And while you're on YouTube, also subscribe to Hughes Views 414. That's my specific YouTube channel where I do evening broadcasts. And I use a lot of profanity. I was real hot last night. I was cussing a blue streak, but I felt good. It's like my therapy session.
What were you talking about?
Just topics that make an old black man angry, which is everything. Old black men will get mad at the wind.
Yeah, you've been very angry lately.
Because people are just, common sense isn't common. I hate having to explain stuff to people because people are just.
You got to get the juices out more. Then those things just roll off your back.
First of all, it's poison. Because if you don't get it out, it starts messing with your brain.
Yes, the poison.
It'll mess your brain. It'll mess up your thinking. So you got to release the poison as often as you possibly can. But I don't like when adult people, when mature people, when pillars of our community don't have a set of standards and boundaries. Like they hear something good and they change their whole perspective. I used to be like that in college, right? I thought I had, you know, my ideal set and I knew what the world was and I knew who I was in the world. But then I would just read another book and it would change my whole perspective. And I went through that during undergrad. I don't know what the hell I was. I was this, I was that, I was pro this, I was anti that. So everything I read, everything I was exposed to changed my worldview. And you outgrow that. But then, you know, once you get older and you start to mature, your worldview becomes crystallized. I can't stand somebody 55, 62, 71 years old. Like, oh, I just read something. Oh, I just heard a person speak and now I'm going to be in this political party. What?
Oh, you're mad about
people? Nope, don't bring it up.
Oh. Well, you know, sometimes people like good ideas.
Bernie's not even endorsing her. And not now, here's what's crazy. Now they're calling Bernie establishment. I love it.
I don't know about that.
I do.
I think he's waiting to see what happens after the race is over.
He said he ain't endorsing her. She is one of the best opportunities to platform democratic socialism than has existed. Because being a governor is different than running for the Senate or running for the House of Representatives as a Democratic. So a governor is an executive that technically is next in line for the presidency, but we're not going to get into that right now. I'm going to take a break, come back, grab a telephone call. If you want to call, you can. 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Bob, you're on 1017 The Truth. How are you?
Hello,
Sherwin.
You know, everywhere you go in Chicago, there's Milwaukee time. Come to Milwaukee. So we had to check it out. And I like thin pizza. You know, I'm not no fat pizza man. You know, and one thing you ought to acknowledge, Sherwin. One thing you need to acknowledge is that when you talked about Popeyes, the service, and you yell welcome to Popeyes, and then you went on to the next subject like it wasn't nothing. Do you know it took me 10 minutes to recover from laughing because it was so funny? Welcome to McDonald's. Welcome to Popeye. I mean, that was so funny. And you just don't even think it's funny. You just go on to the next subject. You got to understand how funny you are sometimes, man. That was funny. And, you know, remember, when in the 80s or the 90s, I feel bad because we did come over here with your welfare system. And
I know you did. I know it, and you stayed here.
Man, I don't...
I don't
want you to talk about us now. You know, it's a, you know, you got to watch yourself now. Because I like thin pizza. You understand? All right, you know, and y'all drink a lot. I come over here at 84. You know, and y'all drink a lot. I mean, everywhere you go, would it take two or three DUIs for you to get a ticket?
Don't worry about all that. Mind your business on that.
Y'all drink a lot in Wisconsin,
man. Don't worry about how we like to party. If you don't like it, go on back to where you came from. Now, ain't nobody keeping you here, man.
No, I like, I don't move far from Chicago. See, Racine is cool. And Wisconsin and Illinois.
I bet you think Racine is cool, Bob. That explains a lot.
Racine and Wisconsin and Illinois is the only two states I want to learn. I have learned. I don't need to know Idaho and Florida. No. Wisconsin, there's so much to do in Illinois and Wisconsin. That's enough. That's all I need to know. Them two states. You know, and you got to understand how funny you are when you said Popeye. It took me 10 minutes to recover from that, man. Oh, man, was that funny. Welcome to me. Oh, talk to you later, sir.
I was making a point I'm not here to amuse you. I'm not here to make you laugh. What am I, a clown? These issues are very serious. Y'all always coo-coo-cooing and key-key-keying. I'm making very serious points here now. I'm trying to illustrate something to you. I was talking about lackluster black customer service because sometimes black people are just angry for no reason. But here's what's crazy. We'd be mad at each other. White person come, hi, welcome to Popeyes. Hi, can I watch your kids for you while you and your husband go out to dinner? Let somebody black come through the drive-thru. Give me all your money! It's ridiculous how you blacks are. Y'all better be glad that I'm actually black, because if I wasn't, Xavier, I want you to clip when Bob said, I ain't no fat pizza man. I feel like we could get some mileage out of that. He said, I ain't no fat pizza man. Bob, you really are, though. You are very much a fat pizza man. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We're talking about being invaded. Coming up in hour two, more invasions. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.